ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। वी रीडिंग टुडे फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 7 चैप्टर 2 हिरण्यकश्यपु द किंग ऑफ द डीमंस टेक्स्ट 11। विष्णुर्द्विजक्रियामूलो यज्ञो धर्ममयः पुमान् देवर्षि पितृभूतानां धर्मस्य च परायणम्। विष्णुर्द्विजक्रियामूलो Translation and purport also by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. The basic principle of Brahmanical culture is to satisfy Lord Vishnu, the personification of sacrificial and ritualistic ceremonies. Lord Vishnu is the personified reservoir of all religious principles, and He is the shelter of all the demigods, the great pitas, and the people in general. When the brahmanas are killed, no one will exist to encourage the kshatriyas to perform yajñas, and thus the demigods, not being appeased by yajña, will automatically die. Purport. Since Vishnu is the central point of Brahmanical culture, Hiranyakashipu's plan was to kill Vishnu. For if Vishnu were killed, naturally the Brahmanical culture would also be lost. With Brahmanical culture lost, yajna would no longer be performed. And for want of yajna, the regular distribution of rainfall would cease. Yajnat bhavati parjanyaha. Thus, there would be disturbances all over the world. And naturally, the demigods would be defeated. From this verse, we get a clear indication of how human society is disturbed when the Vedic Aryan civilization is killed and the Vedic ritualistic ceremonies performed by the Brahmanas are stopped. Kalau Shudra Sambhavaha. Because the population of the modern world consists mostly of Shudras, the Brahmanical culture is now lost and is extremely difficult to re-establish in a proper way. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya has recommended the chanting of the holy names of the Lord, which will revive Brahmanical culture very easily. Harir Nama, Harir Nama, Harir Nama Iva Kevalam, Kalo Nasteva, 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 Gatir Anyatha. Because of the increment in demoniac population, people have lost Brahmanical culture. Nor is there a Kshatriya government. Instead, the government is a democracy in which any Shudra can be voted into taking up the governmental reins and capture the power to rule. Because of the poisonous effects of Kali Yuga, the Shastra, the Bhagavatam, Canto 12, Chapter 2, Text 13 says, Dasyu Prayeshu Rajasu. The government will adopt the policies of Dasyus or plunderers. Thus, there will be no instructions from the Brahmanas. And even if there are Brahmanical instructions, there will be no Kshatriya rulers who can follow them. Aside from Satya Yuga, even formerly in the days when demons were flourishing, Hiranyakashipu planned to destroy the Brahmanical culture and the Kshatriya government and thus create chaos all over the world. Although in Satya Yuga this plan was very difficult to execute, in Kali Yuga, which is full of Shudras and demons, the Brahmanical culture is lost and can be revived only by the chanting of the Maha Mantra. Therefore, the Krishna Consciousness Movement or the Hare Krishna Movement has been inaugurated to revive Brahmanical culture very easily so that people may become happy and peaceful in this life and prepare for elevation in the next. In this regard, Srila Madhvacharya quotes this verse from the Brahmanda Purana. Viprayagyadi moolam tu harir ityasuram matam harir evahi sarvasya moolam samyan maton ripa. O king, the demons think that Hari, Lord Vishnu, exists because of the Brahmanas and Yajna. But factually, Hari is the cause of everything, including the Brahmanas and Yajna. Therefore, through the popularizing of Hari Kirtan or the Sankirtan movement, the Brahmanical culture and Kshatriya government will automatically come back, and people will be extremely happy. Hare Krishna. So we are reading the episode where Shukadev Goswami is describing the activities of Hiranyakashipu when he heard that his brother Hiranyaksha had been killed by the Lord in the form of Varahadev. Hiranyakashipu was enraged and he resolved that he would kill Vishnu. And in order to kill Vishnu, he thought that he should also destroy the Brahmanical culture, because there is a very intimate and deep connection between Vishnu and the Brahmanical culture. Srila Prabhupada quotes Srila Madhvacharya here in the end of his purport from the Brahmanda Purana, and this quote says that demons think that Lord Hari exists because of the Brahmanas and Yajna. But factually, it is the opposite, that the Brahmanas and Yajna depend on Vishnu. So Hiranyakashipu was thinking, as a typical demon, that if it destroys Brahmanical culture, then Vishnu will be destroyed. And all the demigods also will be destroyed because they are dependent on Vishnu. The system of Yajna that was made by Vishnu is meant for the welfare of all living beings in this creation. In the Bhagavad Gita, right in the beginning, in the third chapter, Krishna says, Saha yajnaha prajaha srishtva purovacha prajapatihi anena prasivishyadhyam eshavo stvishta kamadhuk. He says, quoting, the Lord himself is quoting at the time of creation, that the system of yajna has been made in such a way from time immemorial for the fulfillment of all desires of living entities in this world. Krishna has made this creation perfect, and he has created all facilities for everyone's complete satisfaction. There is nothing lacking in this world except in the consciousness of the conditioned living entities. So when the conditioned living entities understand the perfection of the Lord's creation and they see their relationship with the Lord in relationship to this creation, then everything becomes perfect. The very word yajna, as Prabhupada is mentioning here in the word-for-word translation, means Vishnu. Yajyo vai Vishnuho. Other synonyms for it are Yajna Purush or Yajna Pati. He's a lord of sacrifice. He is a personification of sacrifice. So in this way, the whole system of Yajna is very much intimately connected to the Lord's plan for the living entities in this world. And for the performance of Yajna, the Brahmanas are very essential. So without Brahmanical culture, there can be no Yajna. Without Yajna, the Lord will not be satisfied. And without the Lord being satisfied, people cannot be happy in this material world. The Brahmanical culture, in turn, depends on the organization of the Varnashrama Dharma. Chato Varnyam Maya Srishtam Guna Karma Vibhagashaha. Lord Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita that he has created this system of having the four Varnas and also, of course, the four Ashramas. This is a very scientific division that the Lord has made according to qualities, the particular qualities that the human beings have within this world. In the 11th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, the nine Yogendras, when they are teaching King Nimi, they mention that these four Varnas and the four Ashramas, they actually come from the universal form of the Lord. The sannyasis, they come from the head of the Lord. The vanaprasthas come from the arms of the Lord. The grihasthas come from the waist or the belly of the Lord. The brahmacharis come from the legs of the universal form of the Lord. Similarly, the brahmanas come from the head of the Lord. The kshatriyas from the arms. The vaishyas from the waist or the belly. And the shudras from the legs. So in this way, all the four varnas and all the four ashramas are connected to the Lord. They come from the Lord and they're meant to serve the Lord. So Srila Prabhupada explains that actually all the four varnas and all the four ashrams are supposed to serve the Lord through their activities. The varnashram system entails the performance of many, many prescribed duties. It is extremely complicated and vast. But by virtue of the performance of these prescribed duties, one is eventually meant to come to the point of Krishna consciousness. One is eventually meant to please the Lord by one's activities. As the Srimad Bhagavatam says, Atah pumbir dvija shreshta varnashrama vibhagashah svanushtitasya dharmasya samsiddhir haritoshanam. The word haritoshanam indicates that one has to please Lord Vishnu. It is not a question of pleasing anyone else except the Lord and his devotees. And then Prabhupada goes on to say in so many different purports that if one does not do so, then one will actually fall from one's position as a brahmana or a kshatriya or something. Each varna and each ashram has its specific prescribed duties. For example, the brahmanas are supposed to eat on behalf of the Lord, and they're also supposed to preach on behalf of the Lord. The sacrificial fire is considered like the tongue of Lord Vishnu. And the tongue of the brahmanas also, the mouth of the brahmanas is also like the mouth of Lord Vishnu. So by performing sacrificial fires and by feeding the brahmanas, one is supposed to feed Lord Vishnu. That is the system of the Varnashrama Dharma. But Srila Prabhupada says that if the brahmana simply eats on behalf of Lord Vishnu but doesn't preach on behalf of Lord Vishnu, then he will fall down. And that is precisely why we see that the Brahminical culture has fallen, because those who are born in Brahminical families, they only try to insist that they should get their dakshina, that they should be fed by the people. They receive all kinds of donations and everything from people as a matter of hereditary right, on birthright, but they don't actually perform spiritual service to the Lord. They don't perform austerities. And because of that, they don't have the spiritual power to absorb the karma that goes into accepting all the donations and the dakshina that they receive. And therefore, they fall down from their positions and perform many abominable activities. Similarly, the kshatriyas, they must protect the praja or the citizens. And protecting the praja, Prabhupada explains again many places, is not just a physical protection of the body. That, of course, is important. But more important is the protection of dharma. They must protect the spiritual consciousness of the people in the kingdom. Some months ago, one devotee was recounting the incident wherein he met one minister from one state in southern India. And having got the opportunity to meet him, he was trying to preach something about Krishna consciousness to him. In the course of the discussion, the topic came to the Ramayana. And this devotee was explaining how people have become like Ravan, where they want to use everything for their sense gratification. And then this minister surprisingly said, well, what's wrong with Ravan? What was wrong? He just liked some lady and he picked her up and took her away. So the devotee was shocked to hear this. He says, he came and said that this minister was saying that what's wrong with Ravan? He just picked up, he liked somebody's wife and he picked her up. So then I mentioned to him that you should have told him that would you have been as large-hearted if somebody had come and picked up your wife? But he said, how could I tell him that? He's the minister. And then after a moment's thought, he said, you know something, that even if I had asked him that, maybe he would have said, I don't mind, because his wife would object to all the things that he does. So this is the kind of situation in Kali Yuga. The kind Prabhupada is saying that we have, practically speaking, no brahmanas, practically speaking, no kshatriyas, who are actually brahmana and kshatriya in quality. In another recent incident, just about a month or two ago, it was so much in the news about another very important minister from South India who denied the existence of Lord Ram. He said Lord Ram is just imagination. And it became a big controversy, appearing everywhere in the press. And he was insistent, he would not retract his statement, and he went on insisting that there was no Lord Ram, it's all imagination. So then, with leaders like this, who are supposed to be in the position of governing the people, protecting dharma, if this is their conviction, if these are their values, then it's not surprising to see the condition in which society is today. So therefore, in the Kali Yuga, Srila Prabhupada says, it's very hard, as he mentions here in the purport, it's very, very hard to re-establish the Brahminical culture in a proper way. Because everybody is basically Shudra, Kalo Shudra Sambhavaha. And therefore, the best way is to somehow accept Lord Chaitanya's statement to simply chant the holy names of the Lord. There is no other way in this age of Kali. In another place, Srila Prabhupada says that perhaps it is not even necessary to designate oneself as a Brahmana, Kshatriya or Vaishya or anything. If one simply becomes a devotee of Krishna, chants the holy name and takes to the process of Krishna consciousness, that in itself will make a tremendous change in the world. And Prabhupada goes on to say that if everyone performs his or her prescribed duties in Krishna consciousness, then here and now this material world will be transformed into Vaikuntha, into the spiritual world. And Prabhupada says that there is no need to go to the spiritual world. This material world will itself fulfill all the necessities of mankind, and everyone can be perfectly satisfied here and now if we all simply become devotees of Krishna. So the key, therefore, in the Varnashram system is to gradually uplift oneself till one actually becomes direct devotees of Lord Krishna. If one gets caught up in the ritualistic activities mentioned in the Varnashrama system, then perhaps one will not be able to understand the real essence of life. Srila Rupa Goswami, in the Nectar of Devotion in the Bhakti Rasamrit Sindhu, has explained that there are two kinds of duties in the Varnashrama system. One are the prescribed duties that primarily pertain to what is called Dharma, Artha, Kama, Moksha. That is mundane religiosity. One performs that, one performs these ritualistic activities in order to attain some financial gain, some money, wealth, so on. And one uses this wealth eventually for kaam, or for fulfillment of our material desires, for sense gratification. And eventually, when one is frustrated with sense gratification, and when one has a little knowledge, then one strives for salvation or moksha. So dharma, artha, kama, moksha. So a vast majority of the prescribed duties and the regulations that are given in the Varnashrama system pertain to this dharma, artha, kama, moksha. And therefore, in the conversation between Ramananda Rai and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in South India, Lord Chaitanya had rejected the Varnashrama system as being external. Ramananda Rai had quoted a verse from the Puranas, Varnashrama acharavata purushena parapuman Vishnur Aradhyate Panta Nanyat Tattoshakaranam, which means that if one simply performs one's prescribed duties in the Varnashrama system, then Lord Vishnu will be pleased, and there is no other way to please the Lord. So Lord Chaitanya had immediately responded and said, Eho Bahya, that this is external. So on one hand, it is Lord Krishna himself who has established the Varnashrama system, Chatur Varne Maya Srishtam. So that's the Lord's own words stating that he has created the Varnashrama system. So naturally, he expects every one of us to follow the Varnashrama system. And as Lord Chaitanya, the same Lord Krishna, is saying, this is external. So how does one reconcile these two? The answer is that people are at different levels of spiritual development in this world. There are those who are not even human because they don't follow any rules and regulations. The beginning of human life is when one follows the Varnashrama system. One at least accepts some rules and regulations that govern our life. According to the particular modes of nature that govern us, or according to our particular qualities, we perform certain functions and duties in this world. So human life actually begins at this stage. And since in human life the goal is to understand and realize the Supreme Lord, all these duties are designed in such a way that eventually one will come to the point of becoming a pure devotee of Krishna. But these prescribed duties in and of themselves do not constitute a limb or an anga of bhakti. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur explains in his commentaries, he says that simply performing the prescribed duties, the ritualistic duties of the Varnashrama Dharma, even though eventually they are meant to lead us to Krishna consciousness, do not in and of themselves constitute bhakti proper. They are what he calls Gauna Dharma, subsidiary activities of bhakti. They are meant to be indirectly conducive to bhakti. So gradually people of weak faith, who do not have enough faith that bhakti is sufficient, one does not need anything apart from bhakti to achieve success of life, for such people these prescribed duties exist. Shraddha Shabda Vishwas Kahe Sudrida Nishchay Krishna Bhakti Koile Sarva Karma Krita Hoy. This is faith, according to the Chaitanya Charitamrita, that if one simply serves Krishna, then everything else is achieved. So, if one has weak faith in this statement, but at the same time, one has some kind of recognition of the Supreme Lord, one has some humanity, so to speak, one understands that life is not meant to be lived like an animal whimsically, but one must follow the instructions of the Shastras, then the prescribed duties of the Varnashrama are meant for such a person. And then gradually, one rises by the performance of such duties over a period of many, many lifetimes. One develops stronger and stronger faith. And this is also partly because there is another portion, the second part of the Varnashram duties, which are directly spiritual, which are directly devotional. And Rupa Goswami says, Japa Dhyana Archana Adi, chanting of the holy names, meditating on the Lord, performing the worship of the deity, and so on. These are activities which are not Gauna Dharma, not subsidiary activities, but they are direct bhakti. So these activities also form a part of the prescribed duties of the Varnashrama Dharma. And Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur says that these activities of bhakti don't have to be offered to Krishna. But the other activities of the Varnashrama Dharma, the prescribed duties, they have to be offered to Krishna. At least the pious activities amongst them have to be offered. But that doesn't constitute bhakti. And Rupa Goswami says, Karmarpanam, the offering of activities to Krishna refers only to the pious activities. Here, But the actual bhakti is only activities like chanting of the holy name, worshipping the deity with devotion, with understanding that he is a supreme personality of Godhead. So then, here is the connection. The connection is that one has to gradually rise to the point of devotion to Krishna. So then the question may arise that up to what point in time should one perform these prescribed duties? At what point in time can it be said that now I have attained devotion and therefore I don't need to perform these other prescribed duties? This question is also answered by Krishna himself in the 11th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. He says, Tavat karmani kurvita na nirvidyeta yavata mat katha shravanado va shraddha yavan na jayate. He says, one should perform tavat karmani kurvita, should perform one's karma according to varnashrama till such time as two conditions are fulfilled. The first condition is na nirvidyeta. One should be detached. One should not be attached to any activities of sense gratification. And the second is shraddha yavanna jayate mat kathado. Mat katha shravanado. So till such time as one has developed spontaneous attraction and strong faith in and to the glorification of the Lord, basically Krishna consciousness. So the answer that Lord Krishna gives is that one should perform the prescribed duties of varnashrama, the ritualistic activities, till such time as one develops detachment from sense gratification, number one, and number two, spontaneous attraction for the devotional service of the Lord, specifically the hearing and chanting of the Lord's glories. So then the question arises that, well, there's quite a big gap between the two. On one hand, you have a person of weak faith who probably doesn't even appreciate Krishna as a supreme Lord, but has some respect and regard, and also accepts the words of the scripture and therefore does the prescribed duties. And on the other hand, you have someone who is spontaneously attracted to hearing and chanting about the Lord. So how does one make the transition? And that transition is called Vaidhi Bhakti. Srila Rupa Goswami says that Vaidhi Bhakti is that process of devotional service where one's attraction to the Lord is not spontaneous. There is no natural love for the Lord, but one has some faith in the words of the spiritual master, in the words of the scripture, and by simply being obedient and following these instructions, one actually makes spiritual advancement. Now, Vaidhi Bhakti is different from the ritualistic activities of Varnashrama in that Vaidhi Bhakti is directly bhakti, whereas the other prescribed ritualistic duties of Varnashram Dharma are indirectly bhakti, Gauna Dharma, according to Srila Bhakti Siddhanta. And by performing Vaidhi Bhakti, gradually one rises to the platform of spontaneous attraction for the hearing and chanting of the name, fame, pastimes, etc. of the Lord. Now, in defining Vaidhi Bhakti, Srila Rupa Goswami quotes that famous verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Tasmad Bharata Sarvatma Bhagavan Ishvaro Harihi Shrotavyah Kirtitavyascha Smartavyascha Chetabhayam. He says that if one wants to be really free from fear, free from anxiety, one wants to be completely happy and successful at the time of death, then one must constantly hear about, chant about, remember and worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is Sarvatma, the soul of souls, who is the Supreme Lord situated in everybody's heart, that is Krishna. And then he says the essence of Vaidhi Bhakti is, again, this very famous verse, Smartavyah Satatam Vishnur Vismartavyo Najatuchit Sarve Vidhi Nishedhasyur Etayor Eva Kinkaraha. That one must always remember Krishna, and one should never forget Krishna. And these two rules are the chief rules of all rules amongst in the Varnashrama system or even outside the Varnashrama system. All other rules, whether in the Varnashrama system or outside of it, are all meant to come to this point. So all these other rules are servant, kinkara, of these two rules. So now one may again think that, well, if one is beginning the process of bhakti, one is in the path of following the rules and regulations of bhakti, and one has not achieved spontaneous love for the Lord, then how can we always think of Krishna 24 hours, every second? Is that possible for a newcomer who comes to bhakti and he's asked to think of Krishna every second? So then Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur gives a very interesting comment. He says, actually, when it says satatam smartavyah Vishnu, that you should think of Krishna always, it means at least you should begin by thinking of Krishna daily. Not every second, but every day. Which means that we should come for Mangalarti every day. We should chant our rounds every day. We should hear Srimad Bhagavatam every day. We should see the deities with devotion every day. We should offer bhoga to the Lord and accept it as prasadam every day. Like that. Not that a vaidhi bhakta is expected to immediately think of Krishna 24 hours a day every second. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, if that was the instruction, then the neophyte devotee would lose faith in the instructions of the shastras. And he would think, this is an impossible thing to do. How can I think of Krishna every second? And if I don't think of Krishna every second, then I'm not considered a devotee. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur reconciles this. So therefore, there are two paths, two kinds of instructions given in the scriptures. One kind of instruction is given for those on the pravritti marga, for those who are still attached to sense gratification. And there is another set of instructions meant for those who are in the nivritti marga, who are detached from sense gratification. So one performs the prescribed duties of varnashrama in the pravritti marga. And when one comes to the point of understanding that there is something more than matter, there is spirit, one has come to the nivritti marga. One has given up the contamination of karma, but there may still be the contamination of jnana. So coming to nivritti is not sufficient. One must come to the point of devotion to Krishna. Because devotion to Krishna is free from karma as well as jnana. It is pure. In this way, Lord Krishna has outlined very, very nicely in the 11th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam the whole process of coming out of the stringent prescribed rules and regulations of the Shastra in Varnashrama and coming to the point of spontaneous devotion to the Lord. And then, of course, one goes through the medium of Vaidhi Bhakti. By so doing, this is a gradual process of transition. So one may ask, what should one do practically now? To what extent in our current situation should we accept the prescribed duties of the Varnashrama system? We are performing Vaidhi Bhakti. So how much of the Varnashrama system should we adopt in our life? So following Rupa Goswami's and Lord Krishna's indication, the answer is very simple. We accept those rules and regulations. We accept those prescribed duties in the Varnashrama system that are conducive to our bhakti. For example, according to Varnashrama system, if there is a brahmachari and he feels the need for a life that is not so much renunciation, he can move into the grihastha ashram. So that is part of the prescribed process for a brahmachari, if he wants to lead that kind of life. So he may enter the grihastha ashram. So what to speak of? So then let's come to the point of a devotee now. A devotee who is a brahmachari, if he feels that he would be better situated for his devotional service in the grihastha ashram, then he may accept this portion from the varnashrama system. But becoming a grihastha is not directly an act of bhakti. we are adopting or importing, so to speak, this item from the Varnashrama because it may facilitate my stability in Krishna consciousness. I can serve Krishna peacefully in a more stable and secure situation. So one is using a particular rule and regulation of the Varnashrama system for stabilizing my bhakti. If that is the consciousness in which we are doing it, then it is all right. Similarly, from brahmachari to grihastha, grihastha to vanaprastha, and eventually to sannyas. Even accepting sannyas is not an act of bhakti in and of itself. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has said the taking of sannyas in Kali Yuga is actually forbidden, but it is done only for the sake of increasing service to Krishna, for the sake of preaching. That's all. So in this way, one may accept certain rules and regulations of the scriptures which are conducive to the development of our bhakti. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada concludes the purport here by saying that ultimately, the whole process should be to popularize the chanting of the holy names of the Lord. Because to reinstitute again the proper system of a Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, and so on, it is very difficult now. But if one simply chants the holy name of the Lord, one performs, starts with Vaidhi Bhakti, and congregational chanting of the holy names and hearing of the Srimad Bhagavatam and so on, then gradually the situation will be adjusted, Prabhupada says. And automatically a situation will be created wherein, as he says here in the purport, the Brahminical culture and the Kshatriya government will automatically come back. So Prabhupada's program was to institute or to spread large-scale chanting of the holy name of the Lord, so that eventually people become devotees everywhere. But even when you become devotees, you do need a form of government. You do need a form of social organization. In that situation, when the devotional service to the Lord has become widely prevalent, then from that group of devotees will arise those with Kshatriya tendencies who can take on the government, the responsibility of government according to dharma. From amongst those devotees will arise a group of Brahminically inclined leaders who can be the guides for these Kshatriya governmental leaders. And in this way, everyone will become extremely happy and the society can then move towards the ultimate goal of Krishna consciousness. This is the key. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, thank you very much. Are there any comments? Maharaj, would you like to make any comments? Any questions or comments? Anyone? Yes.
Thank you very much for your nice class, Prabhu. You have explained the whole Varnashram concept so clearly. But then when we try to explain the philosophy of the Srimad Bhagavatam to people belonging to other, not exactly Sampradaya, but let's say faith, like the Swaminarayans or the Brahma Kumaris, when we try to explain to them the Varnashram system, trying to put it in a way, try and make it as simple as possible, still we find that they're not willing to accept it. And, they come forward with their own explanations as to how the whole thing should be understood or how the whole thing should be applied. So my question was that when we are trying to preach to people who are having a certain level of knowledge, because it's easier to preach to a person who doesn't have any knowledge, how does one go about doing it in a way by which you can try and convince him that this path is far superior to the one that you are following?
You refer to the specifically to Varnashram system or to Krishna consciousness as such?
Krishna consciousness within the Varnashram system, by following the Varnashram system.
Of course, the two can be distinctly identified and also correlated. We can talk on two different levels. On one level is the everyday level where people are attached to the body, then the bodily concept of life. And we can explain that this is not just a question of religion or religious belief. It's a question of observation and reality in this world, that people are of different natures. There's someone who has a particular nature and he exhibits certain qualities. He's more inclined to a certain kind of work. And based on such analysis, you can segregate humanity into certain categories. For example, as Prabhupada has explained so many places, that there are always people who are intellectuals. They're professors and they like to do this and that. There are other people who are military people, they like administration and so on. So these are Brahmanas and Kshatriyas. It doesn't matter if they're devotees or not, but this is a natural classification of society that is there because it is done by Krishna. Of course, now there is a lot of confusion because people with one kind of propensity are doing another kind of work, right? Everybody now is talking about a job, isn't it? A job, only a Shudra is supposed to take a job technically as per the Varnashrama system. The Brahmana never takes a job. He lives on charity and preaches. The Kshatriya only accepts taxes. A Kshatriya never takes charity. A Vaishya gives charity, but he never receives charity. He doesn't take a job. He gives others jobs. It's only the Shudra who does a job. But now, whether someone is of a Brahmanical nature, a Kshatriya nature, everyone is doing a job. So everything is confused now. But nevertheless, at least the basic tendency, the propensity of a person you can identify somewhat. Is this person like a Kshatriya? This person is more Brahmanical. He is more of a Vaishya. He has a Vaishya tendency, isn't it? These are basic classifications that can be drawn in society. So this is how we can convince people of the veracity or the truth of the Varnashrama system and the classification. That regardless, even in the communist system, which is basically an atheistic system, these four categories exist. The communist system it only glorifies the Shudra. The Shudra is the boss, isn't it? He is the one, the proletariat is the one who is actually the one in power. The bourgeois, they're condemned. The rich people, the Vaishyas, are condemned. In the democratic system, although it is not a communist system, it is still the Shudra who is in power. Because Prabhupada is mentioning in the purport that any Shudra, by virtue of the elections, can get into office. At least the communists are honest. They say, yes, the Shudra is in power. He should be in power. But in the democratic system of government, the Shudras come into power anyway, but in the name of majority votes. So this is one thing about the Varnashrama. About the path of Krishna consciousness, that's another question that we explain to them in the process of how we are spirit souls and we eternally related to the Lord, and that's what Krishna consciousness is about, and we have to go back to Godhead. And then we bring the two together and say that we perform our prescribed duties in Krishna consciousness. And that is how we reconcile the two. Are there any other questions or comments? Yes.
Prabhuji, what is the meaning of being free from jnana?
Being free from jnana means being free from that mentality or that process which eventually leads to the conclusion of the Lord being impersonal and of the conception of the goal of life as being one of merging with the Lord. So the word jnana can have several connotations of meaning. If that knowledge is helpful for bhakti, then we don't reject that jnana. So generally when we say that bhakti should not be mixed with karma and jnana, we are not referring to that jnana which is helpful for bhakti. For example, in these classes every morning, we do discuss jnana or knowledge. But this is knowledge that actually leads to bhakti. So that is required, especially in the Vaidhi Bhakti stage. But the jnana that is not accepted is that knowledge that leads to the impersonalist's conclusions. Any other points, comments? Okay. So thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sri Sri Radha Gopinath ki jai, Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Gaur Premanande.